Generally speaking, though, if you can tap into the power, the untapped power that he has within himself as a raw athlete, he can become a game wrecker. To the top 10 edge rushers in the 2024 NFL draft. And this is, if you're listening on podcast, it's the second episode we're recording here live in one fell swoop. So welcome in. We appreciate you being here. This is a fair time to ask everyone that's with us live on Thursday. If you have not yet, hit retweet, hit like, hit subscribe, hit all those buttons for us that we would appreciate you hitting. Please take a moment to do that now as we transition into the edge rusher conversation. JT, we haven't talked about the Titans a whole lot on this episode, and in the grand scheme of these two positions, I would bet a significant amount of money that they came away with at least one of the guys we talk about today because they really could use them. And if I had to guess which it'd be probably one of these guys we're about to talk about on the edge rusher board. I think that especially in the second round, one of these guys very firmly in play. They've got a number of options they could address in the second round, which we'll get to here in just a second. But for a frame of reference on the strength of this group, the top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 12 guys in this class based on the consensus draft board are going to go in the top 100. And for good reason, it's a strong group. Let's go ahead and throw up the board here, JT, and try to decide where we want to begin today's conversation. Let's just start at the top with you. You've got Gabriel Murphy out of UCLA on your list. He is not on mine. So talk to the folks a little bit about Gabriel Murphy out of UCLA.
Yeah, I think Gabriel Murphy, especially on tape and what I saw, there's a lot to like about this guy. I think that he probably is maybe a early day three guy, maybe in the fourth or fifth round here. But I liked a lot of what I saw, and he was someone I mocked to the Titans in my mock draft 1.0. He still really excelled this year, despite being opposite one of the best edged defenders in this class in Laiatu Latu. I think that despite being next to someone like that caliber, I think he still was able to produce. He had a 14.8% pass rush win rate in 2023, 8 sacks, 23 hurries, a 4.63 40-yard dash at his size, 6'2", 251. I think he's only, I think his official measurements, he came in closer to 260 on those, 4.63 still on that speed is really good speed for a guy who's currently a day three pick. The biggest thing for me though is he was still able to really produce in his final game of the season, which Laiatu Latu did not play in. So that kind of crossed out all
reference there. Yeah,
it crossed out all doubts in my mind that this was really something that he was a product of a Latu. So. I don't think he's going to go. Yes, exactly. As one would say, as the kids say these days.
Us being the kids.
Exactly. I think that, I don't know if he's going to go on day two. I'd be surprised if he goes on day two, but especially when you start to look at that first pick the Titans have in the fourth round, I think that he could be someone that you could slot in as a rotational guy right now behind an Arden Key and Harold Landry. And I think he could really be a role player from day one.
Let me return the favor here because I've got Braylon Trice out of Washington on my list, unless he's in your top five. I don't think that he is on yours. Super productive, crazy productive. Last year in college at Washington, 15 games played, 49 tackles, 11 and a half tackles for loss, and 7 sacks. I think that he's got good hand usage. He showed his ability to participate effectively in stunts on tape pretty consistently. He's not got the high-end burst you're looking for, and that's why he's further on down my list. Not necessarily going to be a consistent threat at the edge of the next level, certainly a rotational player in that way, but as a late day two, early day three pick, I can absolutely see a team going after him and making him a valuable addition to their team in a rotational role. So that is Braylon Trice out of Washington. So we've each got two guys on here that there does not have. So I'll throw it back to you. You've got Austin Booker out of Kansas. Tell the folks about Austin Booker.
Austin Booker is a really interesting prospect in the fact that he really has only played 505 snaps in his college career. So this is is still very much developing. And I think that you might be able to get him at a discount despite only playing a little bit over 500 snaps this past season, where he started or played in 12 games, had 9 sacks, 2 quarterback hits, and 27 hurries. So super productive at the next level playing in the Big 12. A couple of his best games also came against really good opponents like Texas and BYU. He's a guy that I think right now he can be on a developmental fast track for a team that takes a chance on him late day two. Some of the measurables as well you really like. 6'4", 70th percentile. The weight, I think that he does need to add weight, 3rd percentile. So skinny boy on the outside, but that allows him to have a little bit more versatility in his move set. I think, 73rd percentile broad dump, 41st percentile vertical jump. So he does have a little bit of explosiveness, and, 4.7940 also is good. He has above 60% wingspan. This is a guy who is a nice build. If he put on a little bit more weight, I think that he could go a lot higher, but I think the biggest thing for him is that he just doesn't have a lot of experience. And I think that, you're not taking this guy to be your starter day one, but I think down the road, he could be really something.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. The last guy that is on one board, but not the other, is Jonah Ellis out of Utah. He's my number 9 edge rusher in this class. 6'2", 248. He's super energetic. He plays with a high motor, very productive in college. In his final year, he put up 24 hurries and 13 sacks, only 2 hits, which is the kind of thing that indicates maybe there's a little bit of a cleanup element to his game. So he's going to be a rotational player for you. If he wants to become a difference maker at the next level, he's going to need to get stronger and maybe a little bit bigger. 246 ain't bad, but if he could stand to put a little bit more weight on, I think that would be helpful for him. But he's got the quickness and flexibility you're looking for to be an impactful rotational guy. So I think that's the traits you're betting on there are the energy, the motor, the quickness. And looking at him, he seems to be the kind of guy that, get him in an NFL weight room, get him in with an NFL strength and conditioning program, they might can get him bulked up, beefed up, a little bit stronger, and he could be a bigger impact. But for now, a rotational guy. So that is Jonah Ellis out of Utah. Moving into our top 8, and I'm going to laugh if we have the exact same thing all the way down. Our 8 through 6 are the same guys. So we can start with number 8. Adisa Isaac? Do we know how to say his name? Adisa?
I believe it's Adisa. Not sure, though.
Well, Adisa Isaac is a guy that once again falls into the category of guys that played the same position from the same school in the same draft class. He is from Penn State. We're going to get to another Penn State rusher here in Chop Robinson in a little bit. But Adisa is the other guy here. JT, make the case for him not just being the other guy.
Yeah, so I think that both Penn State guys suffer from the same thing, which is consistency and versatility. I think that both of them have really good, they have the traits to be good at the next level. You look at a guy like Isaac, who is 69th percentile in height. You look at his arm length, both and wingspan, both above the 60th percentile. Explosive athlete, 85th percentile broad jump, 65th percentile vert jump. This is a guy who I think just needs to be more consistent and more revised in his move set. I think it's really hard to say one or the other is better at this time right now, but he does suffer from having the less, prototypical build of a edge defender. 247 pounds, which is 9th percentile for him, which gives him the knock over his partner there. I think that just the bottom line, he is a rotational guy right now, but I think with the proper fit, he can develop into something more.
He's an interesting one because you mentioned his size. First of all, like you said, with both of the Penn State guys, they've got a little bit of that. What is it out of Moneyball where it's like, he's supposed to hit good, but why don't he hit good? Or what is it? You know what I'm talking about? Is that what it is? Whatever it is. The idea that like the whole point is that they can be awesome. So why weren't they? Like where was it? They've got the freaky traits to be better than they were on paper at college. And so like, we're going to talk about Chop and the incredible first step that he has. That is the kind of thing you can hang your hat on at the next level in a moment. But why didn't that translate to a ton of production in college? So not to preface that conversation too, but the same kind of applies to Adisa Isaac. He's got a funny game because his play style, I think it lends itself more to being a hand in the dirt defensive end, but he's got the build more of like an outside linebacker stand-up guy. So it doesn't quite match as well, but like you said, super fast. violent hands, consistent hand placement. He can win inside. He can gain leverage, do all the things you're looking for, get off blocks, swipes, rubs, clubs, all these things. It's just the level of production and the size. Not, I wouldn't say concern, but like the lack of wowing me with the size profile that has him at number 8 for me. And so that is Adisa Isaac out of Penn State. He is, just for reference here, where we're talking about in the draft, he is expected to go in the 70s. So a mid to late day 2 addition. Moving right along to a guy that folks probably haven't heard a whole lot about. I was on a show yesterday talking about him as a guy that I would not hate the Titans targeting in round 2 of the draft. I believe Dan Brugler at The Athletic actually had him going to the Titans in his 7-round mock draft of their day. That's Marshawn Neyland out of Western Michigan, an edge player who folks obviously did not watch in college. But this guy, if you want to talk about a traitsy son of a gun that NFL coaches take one look at and say, let me get my hands on this guy, that's Marshawn Neyland.
Yeah, I mean, what are we talking about? Nobody was watching Western Michigan on Saturday?
Name one Western Michigan opponent this year. Who'd they play?
Are they in the MAC?
Central Michigan, maybe? Was there a little cross-state rival? I don't know. I'll look it up for you.
I don't even know what conference Western Michigan is in. I really do like Marshawn Neyland. Like you said, he's one of those guys, you know, where I think back to, you know, reading the tea leaves this past season and hearing the saying from Rand Carthen, there's some things that you just can't teach. And that's something Marshawn Neyland has, which is the wingspan and arm length that he has. 90th percentile wingspan, 84th percentile arm length with, you know, some really good speed as well at his size. 6'3", 267. So he's on a little bit of the bigger side. But the production this past season for Western Michigan was really nice. 28 mm-hmm. hurries on 3 hits and 6 sacks. This is a guy, like you said, I don't know if second round at 38 would maybe be a little rich for me, given some of the other guys who may be there at that pick. But
it depends on who's there. That's fair.
Exactly. Yep. But if the Titans were to move back in that second round and grab some more capital, I think Marshawn Neyland would be a really good fit to instantly be a rotational guy and develop at the next level.
Yeah, I mean, to summarize Marshawn Neyland in one word, long. Dude is so yes. long. He 84th percentile arm length, 90th percentile wingspan. Again, coaches are salivating at almost 84-inch wingspan on an edge rusher. He's somebody that I don't want to disparage the good name of whoever the DC up there at Western Michigan is, but I don't think he's particularly good at his job. From the tape that I got my hands on to watch of him, I was consistently questioning the usage. I'm not sure he knows where the line of scrimmage is, because he was always lined up off, like way off for some reason. I don't know why. I need him to get into the league and have somebody show him where the line of scrimmage is. Assuming that they can do that, I think that he is a really, really intriguing prospect. That production that goes along with the raw traits, you know, the competition not being the best at the college level, I don't really care. When he's got this athletic profile, when he's got that length, when he's got the tenacity, I think it was PFF that described his game as like it was a car crash from an action movie. That's the way that he plays. I think that is the perfect way to sum it up in a very positive way. So I like Marshawn Neyland a lot. At 38, is that a little bit rich? Probably, but in general, a second round pick, I'm giving it up for a Marshawn Neyland. So that is our tackle, our collective tackle 7. Our edge 7. Our edge 6 is the second other guy on this list. It's Chris Braswell out of Alabama. JT, this is a guy that I think is a lot more popular of an option for the Titans at 38. Would not shock me in the slightest to see them go with a Chris Braswell as an edge defender on day 2. What do you like about Braswell?
I think he's one of the more divisive edge rushers in this class, in the sense that you either think that he was a Dallas Turner merchant or you don't. And I think in our case, seeing him at the Senior Bowl and being able to see him on his own, you see some of the power and strength that he has. Of course, his production was off the charts because of how good that Alabama defensive line was last year. 13 sacks, 10 quarterback hits, and 33 hurries. I mean, he was playing with his hair on fire all season. All of those were career best for him in college. I think some of the things that make him not into the top 5 with that production, you look at, maybe some of his, you know, on tape, I do see, you know, he kind of, he wants to anticipate the play a little bit more, which can get him in trouble, you know, at the line of scrimmage. But I think when you look at the power and size that he has, I think that he can really develop into an every down starter at the next level.
I think so too, man. He just lacks that top elite gear kind of across the board. And that's why he is edge six for me in this group. He's got a quick first step, but he doesn't have quite the elite burst. He's not super disciplined against the run. Like, he's not super twitched up as an athlete, but he's got the build you're looking for. 6'3", 251. He's a 70th percentile 40 yard dash guy. Not the most explosive though. Vertical jump, 45th percentile, broad 17th percentile. He's got a bigger, burlier frame. I'm not sure whether or not he can win consistently at the NFL level in every situation. I'm not sure that he can be your edge one, your alpha up there. He may need to be the two. He may need to be a Robin, but I think he can be a darn good Robin if he's in the right situation. And even though he might not ever become a pass rush like technician, that power speed length combination is something that's going to win at the next level. So that is Chris Braswell. And that takes into our top five here. And okay, good. They're not exactly the same. That is good to hear. Let's start with the guy that we've talked a lot about on the show already, but let's talk some more about him. Darius Robinson out of Missouri. JT, the thing about Darius that I find so fascinating is his versatility, his ability to play pretty much any position on the defensive line. He did it a lot moving inside and out at the college level. He is the Denico Autry guy in this class. If you're looking for a direct replacement for him at 38 and you're the Titans, where he may be available, I think it makes maybe too much sense for them.
I think so as well. I mean, there's a reason why he was because it wasn't MVP of the game, but MVP of Senior Bowl week, whatever that award was.
It's like at practice player of the week, yes, at his position, as voted on by the guys he went up against. So like the exactly. Tackles voted on him as the best edge they faced.
Because of, like you said, when we were down there, his versatility and his moveset,
he's getting after it, man.
He really is. And I think that if he was at 38, the Titans would be foolish not to run that card up. Mm-hmm. Personally, I don't know if he gets there, because I think, you know, whether you want to believe it or not, there's a reason he is going to be in person for the draft. And maybe that's because
heck yeah, baby,
he has heard and things his agent
could the Titans
heard.
Rescue the loneliest draft attendee.
Could they
the
do it again?
In a row?
Exactly.
Could
right?
they do could it again? They... Perhaps maybe. One could.
Perhaps,
one could question,
you know, would like
their ability
to
do so.
However, like you said, big. I think there's one word for him, big. That's fella. Really what you can say. 86th percentile height, 91st percentile weight. This dude can clobber you and do it with finesse as well. And I think that's why he is my edge rusher four, and why I think he really has a good shot to go in the first round.
Yeah, he was supposed to come out last year, and he was going to be like a strong day three flyer option, then chose to go and exercise his COVID year, I believe, to go back to Missouri and put on a really strong performance, 27 hurries, 9 sacks, 6 hits, where he has gotten himself into the borderline first round conversation. I think it's for good reason, but he's a little bit of a late breakout candidate, even though he's played a lot at the college level. He is only 22 years old, so he's not old, not to confuse that. He's got a lot of experience in college, but he's not super old. His power profile is what makes him a versatile inside outside guy. Is he going to really bend around the edge and fly past a guy and get off with a great first step every time? Maybe not, but that power is really incredible. And at 296, 6'5", it's not hard to see where it comes from. I think he can line up pretty much anywhere. But man, I think that raw power is something that you like, just put him in the hands of a defensive line coach and say, figure out where he's going to be best fit. And he can be a strong weapon, but even more valuable sometimes to teams, a versatile weapon, the way that the Titans used Nico all those years, where a guy would go down on the outside, bump him out. Guy would go down on the inside, bump him in. A guy would go down, you know, standing up behind him. We'll move him back. He can play linebacker, play him at the middle linebacker stand up position, or outside linebacker stand up position. Like, super versatile in that way. Could Robinson become that guy eventually with the right training? I think that he could. So that's why I am really high on a Darius Robinson. Let's do the other Rob now. Let's go Chop Robinson out of Penn State. He is the one, as I previewed earlier, the notion of if he's so good, why wasn't he good? Applies to this guy a lot. Man, he is a freaky, freaky athlete on paper. And man, is he enticing to watch play against air, to watch the highlights. Like you watch the best. It was like the first quarter of, was it the USC game? I forget which game it was, but there was one quarter last year where he just went ballistic. And if you just showed somebody that quarter of the game, they'd say, yeah, he's like a top five, top 10 pick at worst. It just was inconsistency in his game. So like a lack of polish, a lack of consistency is what has him at edge four for me, edge five for you. Generally speaking, though, if you can tap into the power, the untapped power that he has within himself as a raw athlete, he can become a game wrecker.
Yeah, I think not comparing him to these other players in the past, but same situation. I think two names come to mind: Trayvon Walker and last year's Tyree Wilson.
Yep,
two guys
yep.
who at the college level did not really produce
a couple
that
of
much.
Bums,
no, but the athletic traits were absolutely out of this world. Now I don't think because the traits aren't exactly there. That's why he's not really a first round caliber guy right now. But I think a team is going to see that.
Wait, you don't think he's going to be a first round guy, Chop?
I think he's right outside of it.
Okay. It wouldn't shock me either way, but yeah. I can understand that.
I think that, but the reason why I could see him go into the top, into the first round there, is because of that. You know, these teams love these guys who have the perfect traits, but you just need to mold them. And
he's twitched up to the gills, this guy.
Exactly. We haven't seen it work in the past two times that you can really go back to this, but maybe the third time's the charm.
Yeah, man. It's like out of Arrested Development, where it's like people always delude themselves into thinking that they're the exception, that it'll work for them, even though it's never worked for anybody ever. But it could work for us. That's the idea behind a Chop Robinson, who is my number four, your number five player at the edge position. Moving into our top three. Once again, we agree on the top three. We just disagree on the order. Let's start with Jared Verse out of FSU. Another very explosive, very twitched up player. Big fella. 6'4", 252. Looks and plays bigger than that, I would argue. 23 years old. Very productive last year. 41 tackles, 12 and a half tackles for loss, 9 sacks. What'd you like about Jared Verse?
Then what's not to like about this guy? Production was at an all-time high for him.
Just don't watch the run game, but everything else. Yeah. Who cares about defending the run? The rest of it's kind of sick. Yeah,
exactly. Like for a Titans team, you know, who cares? You know, you have Jeffrey Simmons on the inside. Just let him get,
that's his job. And this other guy's got a different job.
No, that's why he's my third. I think in the run game, you know, he struggles a lot and you could see that on the tape, but you look at the production, man, if you can just teach him that part of the game, 36 hurries, 15 quarterback hits and 11 sacks this past season, 2 batted balls as well, all career highs for him. You know, his pass rush win
was
rate.
Was it 11 sacks? I must have it written down wrong. I thought it was 9. Okay, more than I thought.
21% pass rush win rate for him. He's a explosive athlete on the outside. It's the rest of that game with the run game, like you said, that has him landing as number three for me.
Yeah, if I have to question his ability to be an impact player at the next level, he's going to be a 24-year-old rookie. So is he maxed out in that way? Is his development peaked? Perhaps. I don't know. Like we mentioned, he's a little bit of a liability, inconsistent in the run game. But he's so powerful. He's so twitchy. He's so explosive as a player. He's got the proven production at the collegiate level. He just shoots the gap every time, and he's gone in a wink. So I like a Jared Verse, and I think that he is worthy of a first-round pick. That brings us to, let's do Laiatu Latu out of UCLA, who is your number one edge defender, my number three edge defender. And he is another guy. I feel like we're back at the linebacker episode, JT. So I have to specify. He would be, I think he would be my one. It'd be a razor thin margin between him and Dallas Turner on my board. If, I don't know, the guy hadn't medically retired with a vertebrae issue and thought he never could play football again. And now he's back. That's scary, but other than that, he's kind of, I think he's the most natural edge player in this entire class.
Yeah, that's going to be my, once again, like the linebacker segment. What if I told you that he never got hurt again?
What if I told you I turned injuries off for Laiatu Latu?
Exactly. I turned them off. I went to Roger Goodell, okay, and I said, we're turning them off.
If you told me that, I'm in. I'm so
exactly.
In.
I mean, there's so much to like about this guy. Of course, that's why I had to put him at number one. You know, I'm sticking on brand this offseason that, you know what? injuries be damned. We're going with the guy who I think is the best in the class, and that's Aliatu Latu. Production off the charts, 15 sacks this past season, 36 hits or 36 hurries, 11 hits. This guy really made that UCLA front seven really work, and that's why, you know, when you see him in his game, the move set that he has and the twitchiness and bend that he plays with, you could kind of see that also at the Senior Bowl. You know, was one of my favorite prospects to watch those first couple of days. And yeah, the injuries are the biggest thing for him, and that's where I'm interested to see how far he may fall, or if he stays in that top, you know, 15 to 22 picks.
He's the first guy on this list where you can comfortably say he has the combination of twitch to the gills, crazy explosive, elite athlete, and I want to tell you that I'm going to parse that. Not elite athlete in every element of like his agility, not the greatest. His explosiveness, not the greatest. His vert and his broad are relatively pedestrian. But he's fast, and when I say these things about him being a great athlete, it's really just the smoothness, the fluidity of his game on tape. He looks like he plays better as an athlete than he tested, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So he's got that going for him, and the explosiveness paired with the fact that he is truly a pass rush technician. He's got NFL veteran levels, like his bag is NFL vet deep. He implements every move set that there is. Like, he's got such a mature element to his game that I think is going to make him a pretty plug and play impact player in a way that, like, a Chop Robinson, his ceiling may, you know, it's going to take a while maybe for him to get to that stage. I think Latu's kind of already there, and that's why I have him at number three, but would probably have him at two or one if I weren't just not concerned about the fact that he was retired at one point, and there's a neck or a back thing. I always forget. It's a vertebrae thing that is scary. But like my fears are either going to be confirmed or denied by where he goes, right? Like, if I see somebody take him at 13, I'm going to be like, oh, well, the league checked him out, and like, I feel better about him. Like, rock on, let's go Latu Latu. And then if he falls to 29, I'm going to be like, a lot of teams are scared about him. A lot of teams. What'd you say?
Would you take him at 38 if he fell that far?
Oh, you'd have to.
I think you, yeah.
So no. Okay. So that brings up an interesting conversation. No. It brings up an interesting conversation because people always ask me these hypotheticals where it's like, hey, Caleb Williams falls to seven for the Titans. What are you doing? Marvin Harrison Jr., less of a hypothetical, like, Marvin Harrison falls to seven. What are you going to do? Latu at 38. There is, I don't know where it is, but there's like a Mendoza line in these hypotheticals where things go from so good to too good to be true. Like, I think the narrative would be if the Titans got Latu at 38, it would be like, hey, 32 teams passed on him once, and then six of them passed on him again. And this was supposed to be like, you know, the top edge in the class, the top 15 pick. I think the narrative would be, what don't we know about? What's so scary about this guy? It wouldn't be, wow, they got a steal. Like, eventually a steal becomes a what's the catch? I think that would be a what's the catch situation, but I would probably still do it, to be honest. Yeah. It just depends on what my doctors told me. So that's Latu Latu out of UCLA. That brings us to our final guy on today's episode, and that is Mr. Dallas Turner out of Alabama. Stoney Keeley, if you are still out there, now's your time to spam the comments. He's a guy that if the Titans were to address the defensive side of the ball at seven, he's really the only guy that one could imagine that's where their heads would be at. Now, listen. Is he a very, very good edge prospect? Yes, he is. But there's just something about him when I watch him that I can't get all in on him like I could, you know, his teammate from last year who ended up going number three, and it's not the reigning defensive rookie of the year in Houston, whose name, again, I'm blanking on because I suck at names. JT, help me out.
Will Anderson Jr.
Will Anderson Jr. Thank you. It's not that. It's not that guy. I'm in. He's a first round caliber player. Yes. Am I in on him as a top 10 player? I don't know. JT, what say you?
I would say that, like, my comparison for him is like a Josh Sweat type. I think that the biggest knock that you could find on him would be his size. You know, for, like, why we're not talking about him like a Will Anderson.
6'3", 247.
You have to look at his size. But, I mean, the speed that he plays with, like,
it's springy.
it's absolutely something any team wants to juice up their defensive line. And it's why if there is one defensive player to go in the top 10, it's probably to the Falcons and it's probably Dallas Turner, because they're mm-hmm. missing that a lot. I think there's really, and all of this is a nitpick, right? He can't get taller. Like, you know, he can only put on so much weight to still have that explosiveness.
Not with that attitude, man.
He could get better in the run game, but like, he already is like an above average run defender. So like, yeah, he's the complete package. I think, you know, I'm not projecting him superstar potential out the gate, but I think he's going to be an every down starter from the get go.
Yeah, I'm with you that if you told me he could bulk up and keep that explosiveness, keep that first step at the next level, I'd be more in. Very productive. 53 tackles, 14 and a half tackles for loss, and 10 sacks in 14 games last year. It's just, and he's a maxed out athlete, 89th percentile broad, 97th percentile vert, 95th percentile 40, ran a 4.46. So this is an athlete of all athletes, and he is a springy, quick, explosive, tenacious player. He doesn't have that like household name, game breaker, Max Crosby, TJ Watt level to his game. I don't see that in him right now. And so he's like, you know, he's just one notch below that, which is very good. I wouldn't take him in the top 10. That being said, if you're taking him at 13, 14, I'm very happy with the Dallas Turner in that range. All right. That's going to be it for us, JT. I think that is all of it, folks. It is almost concluded our top 10 positional series of the NFL draft. If you have missed them and you're interested, they are all out on the podcast feed as of the end of this week. So safeties, cornerbacks, linebackers, edge defenders, defensive linemen, interior offensive linemen, tackles, tight ends, running backs, wide receivers, all out there for your consumption, for your enjoyment. Go and check them out. If you want to skip around to certain guys, in the description of every version of it, so on the podcast form, on the podcast platforms, on Twitter, on my Twitter account, I put the full episodes on there, or on YouTube, you can go and find timestamps on each of the guys in there just to learn about the 3-4-5 minute snippet of those guys. So I encourage you to do that, especially if you're wanting to see how some of these guys might apply to and fit into the Titans game plan. And JT, we've just got a couple of episodes left, baby. These episodes will come out for you over the weekend. We'll be back on Sunday afternoon going through the debut of our do and do not draft guide for the Tennessee Titans in the 2024 NFL draft. You and I are both feverishly poring over that right now. A big, long written document over on BroadwaySportsMedia.com, an article that we do every year, which is the magnum opus of our draft cycle. We go through pretty much every position at every round, talking about guys that would and would not be good fits for the Titans, explaining why. A great thing for you to follow along with as you're following the draft coverage next week. Speaking of draft coverage, JT, you and I will be live from somewhere in Nashville, Tennessee, recording, live streaming the first two nights of the draft. We'll be watching night one on Thursday and night two on Friday. All three of the first three rounds will be live here where you find the show on the podcast platform. We'll have highlights up on there. So on Twitter or Facebook or on YouTube, which is where we recommend you watching, we'll be live, and we would love for you to be a part of the conversation. We will be having a good time reacting to all of the chaos. I was talking to you earlier today. The Titans have not failed to entertain the last two draft cycles, and we're excited to see what kind of mayhem and nonsense they bring to us this year. We'll want you to be tuned in with us to enjoy all of that together. And then on Monday, we'll be doing a live show with Sean McAvoy, going through the top 10 quarterbacks, as well as his insight on having spent time with Malik Willis and, more importantly, Will Levis this offseason, talking about those guys and where they're at in their development. And finally, on Tuesday, our last pod live before the actual main event next weekend with the draft. On Tuesday, we'll be doing Mock Draft 2.0, going through the final prediction of what the first round looks like and what the entire Titans 7-round draft ends up looking like. So very exciting, JT, 1 week away. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too.
All right. For producer JT, I'm your host, Easton Freeze. This has been the Hot Read Podcast. Enjoy your last week before the draft is upon us. We'll talk to you on Sunday.